Good evening. Everybody good? That's what I want to hear. We start tonight. Tragedy in our county and around about us and other places. Miss Linda was sharing up at her home in Summerall that four people were killed in an accident last night. And two sisters and one of the sisters' boyfriend and a 24-year-old, I believe she said, in the pickup. They had killed three of them there on the scene. One of them died, had to get into the hospital. And we don't know who they are, but that's some mama's two daughters. One of the daughters had two children. So it's just far-reaching sadness in that and what's going on in their lives. And then right up the road here last night before, Friday night, Justin Henderson Haley's husband, his mother killed her boyfriend, and just a sad situation there. A lot of abuse and stuff, and he had just about killed her before she killed him. And so you pray for that situation there and what's taking place. And I know Justin's heart's broke, you know, even though the life she lives been a tough one, it's still his mama. And even though Patty and Ben raised him and his brother, that's his mama. And so thank God he had a mother mama like Patty that would take him in and raise him and led him down the good road instead of the bad road. So him and Haley's in New Mexico, and I know that they are very much hurt over all this situation. Nothing to gossip about, but plenty to pray about. Let's lift them up and ask God's blessing upon them, because it's a tough situation. And we don't know the folks killed in the accident, but we know that it's somebody's children. So, all right, Haggai, two little chapters of Haggai, but man, are they loaded. Got plenty in here for us to see and know and understand about the people that God has called to do a specific thing, and that's rebuild the temple. And so the people have been released down there in 70 years of captivity in Babylon. They're back. They started the rebuild and fizzled out. How many people we know have started a work for the Lord and fizzled out before seeing it to fruition in their lives? And what God has called them to do and their hearts. So let's see what he says in the call to rebuild the temple. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai, and he asked, is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains in ruin? The question that the Lord told Haggai to ask the people, is it the time, is it the right thing for you to be living in your fine, luxurious homes and the temple of the Lord be like this? I've commented to you many, many times, I think God's house ought to be the prettiest house of all. His temple, you know. We reverence it and care for it, because it's the house of the Lord. And so he asked that question. Now look what he says in verse 5. Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. What would we say in Bexley? Think about it. Think about it. You have planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you have never been filled. You put on clothes, but you're not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. You know, all these things that we call life, you know, building us homes, planting us gardens, and digging wells, drinking from them, and all the things that he mentioned here, and especially the earning wages and putting in purses with a hole in it. You know, how many times have you heard somebody say, money just don't go nowhere anymore? What are they saying? Can't hold on to a dollar and their lives. But this was the things that the Lord Almighty, through Haggai, said to the people. Without God's blessings, nothing that we attempt to do on our own is going to amount to a hill of beans. It won't accomplish anything, especially if God's not in it. And so listen what he says in verse 7. This is what the Lord Almighty said. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build the house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. Now, do you see anywhere in there where he asked them to do that? He said, pay attention to what I'm fixing to tell you. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountain where that good cedar was and harvest it and bring down that timber and do what with it? Build the house. He didn't give them any other way other than that way to do what the Lord told them to do, was it? But a lot of times, what did the people say? Every time that it would be meant, we need to finish the temple. We need to go to work. We need to get this done. God wants us to build this. Time's not right. We ain't got enough money in the bank. We're going to have to get to a certain place, and more people's going to have. We give all these reasons of why we don't answer what the Lord would have for us in our hearts and our lives. It's much like we talked this morning, our message to you, of how our forefathers sacrificed and pennies and dimes and dollars built the first building that was here, bought the first land, all the things it did. And God blessed it and honored it, and it come from that place in the 60s to where we are in 26 in our hearts and our lives. But what had to happen? God had to be in it, didn't he? Now, in a minute, he'll tell us about it, and I'll share it with you. But I remember whenever we were talking about building this part of the building back to the old fellowship hall back there. And I told the church what the Lord had laid upon my heart. And I'd stand out there on Sunday evening on that bluff over there up by that light pole, and I'd pray, and I said, the Lord, I ain't never built nothing in my life. Don't even know where to start. But what you want me to do, you're going to have to hit me between the eyes with a 2x4. I'm going to have to understand it. He told me to get me 4 sticks. I got down off that bluff, got me 4 sticks, and went to the other end. Wasn't nobody in the graveyard then and all. And I went out about 20 feet. He said, go further, go further, go further. And 144 feet long, 42 feet wide. He said, that's it. I said, Lord, are you sure? That's a lot of building. He said, yep. I presented to the church, and that morning, Brother Ford come by the back there, and he said, Brother Larry, are you convinced that's what the Lord wants you to do? I said, I sure am. He said, put me and the wife down for the slab. We'll pay. I said, Brother Bill, I said, you talking about $12,000, $14,000. He said, I was thinking more like $15,000 to $18,000. I said, go on, Lord. We poured a slab, and from there, every time there was a need, God provided. Why? Because he commanded us to do what? Build. Commanded us to build. And here he's telling them, give careful thought. Make sure that you do what the Lord tells you to do in your life. And said, here, I want you to build this temple so that I can take honor in it. He wanted it to be a beautiful building, much better than the one that was destroyed. Listen to what he says in verse 9 here. He said, you expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. Oh, we think sometimes we got a tiger by the tail. But God can turn our world upside down, can't he? You expected much, but it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty, because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew, and the earth its crops. I call for a drought on the fields and in the mountains and on the grain, the new wine, the oil, and whatever the ground produces, on men and cattle, and on the labor of your hands. Who's in control of all that? God himself, isn't he? And he said, because of your disobedience, I brought this famine upon the land, this drought upon the fields and stuff, and nothing that you do is prospering. It's not providing any good whatsoever in their lives because they've been disobedient to what the Lord told them. And returning, you know, Cyrus, he had to change his opinion towards the thing, and he let some of them out early from the 70-year bondage down there in Babylon. And they came and they started the structure. But whenever all of them were removed from captivity and they come, they worked on the temple a little while, but then they said, all right, boys, I got to get over here. I got to provide for my family. I got to get me a house built. I got to get me a garden planted. I got to get me some crops in the fields. I got to get some cattle in the pastures and stuff. They turned their attention to who? And abandoned who? Self and abandoned God, didn't he? And that's what he's talking about here. Look at verse 12. He said, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord, their God, and the message of the prophet Haggai, because their God had sent him. And the people feared, not afraid, but feared, reverenced the Lord. So when the people heard the words of Zerubbabel and they were sent down through Haggai, they knew that this was a message from God. And they believed and reverenced the Lord. Verse 13 says, then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message to the Lord from the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah or Israel, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of the king of Darius. Think about that. Verse 13 said, Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. This is what the Lord told Haggai to tell the people. It was a very simple message that he told him to share. What did the Lord tell him? I am with you. When the Lord was not with them, what did all their efforts amount to? Nothing, did it? Crops burned up in the field, cattle starving in the pastures, water was a precious thing, all kind of difficulties. Ever harder they worked, the further behind they got. But when the message of Haggai from the Lord to the people, assembled the people, they did it because they were stirred up by the words of Haggai from God. I am with you. What did he promise you and I? He said he would be with us, didn't he? You know? And he's not going to leave us or forsake us, you know? And he is the Lord of our God. All right, they've got the message. They've rallied the troops. They got the governor on their side. They got the priest on their side. They got the people on their side. Let's see if we build a temple or not, okay? Chapter 2, the promise that God gave them. You know, every once in a while, we all have to be encouraged. You know, we get discouraged pretty easy. We have to get encouraged. Let's see what happens here. On the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet of Haggai. God's speaking through his minor prophet here, Haggai. And the Lord tells him, speak to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Israel, and to Joshua, the son of Jehoadak, who is the high priest. And he said, in doing so, ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? They've gone to work on the temple, near completion on it. Said, is anybody here that remembers the temple that was destroyed? You remember how beautiful it was? How long did it take the Babylonians to carry off all the plunder out of the temple in the city of Jerusalem? Took them 3 trips, absolutely. And their wagons were loaded each time they left. And all the gold that was then plated on the timbers and stuff, all the silver, all the bronze, all everything that was of any value. Said, who remembers all of that? You know, it'd be like me asking you, how many of you remember the little 30x60 building that we had in our meager beginnings? You know? How many of you remember when we met in the homes of people because we didn't have a building? How many of you remember? This is what he's doing. He's giving them a little refresher course. Who is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? What do you think of it now? They've gone to work on it. It's coming to life. Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Look, if the leadership couldn't be strong, how can you expect the people to be strong? If your pastor's not strong, if he's not in the will of God, what's it going to amount to if he leads his people off into things? And we see that evidence every day all around us in different places, church pop up here and a church pop up here. I remember, and one of the, on Main Street in town, empty buildings before they had a little rejuvenation down there and brought some things back to life. But four different people, four different churches, tried to have church on Main Street in those old buildings and stuff. They were there for a while, and directly what happened? They're gone, you know. And I believe with all of my heart, if God ain't in it, you better stay out of it, you know. It's just that simple. And he said, how does it look to you now? Does it seem to you like nothing? Verse 4 says, but now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the governor and the high priest. You know, the leadership. He said, be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. And do what? Work. How do we accomplish what we get? It's by what? Our hand, isn't it? Sweat of our brow and man's dealings in our hearts and our lives. And he continues here. Why did he tell them to work? He said, for I am strong and I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. Do not be afraid in your heart and your life. And you know, these Israelites have got to be gun shy. They'd been led from captivity down there in Egypt to the promised land. They were God's chosen people. They were guided and cared for by the Holy Spirit. You know, God had punished them for their sins. And I believe God's going to punish this world of ours for our sins. He kept his promise. Did what he said, I will not leave you or forsake you. He stayed with them. It didn't matter what kind of difficulties that we face or how frustrated our work becomes, God's Spirit is with us. And if he's called us to do something, how many times you heard me tell you, he promised me something when he called me to the ministry. You remember what that promise was I told you? He would not call on me to do anything that he didn't equip me and empower me to do. And we sang that little song. He has done great things. He's done great things right here on the side of this hill that most people would have never dreamed of. I remember the old man in the little blue Isuzu truck, Dick Hobby. I'd be working out there and stuff, cleaning up, and maybe in the evening after the men had left, trying to get ready for church to come in. He'd come by in that little Isuzu, beep, 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 about like Bob Tye used to do me on Sunday morning. Bob would come out to the drive up to the door, beep, 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 beep. Old so-and-so needs a load of dirt, and this one wants this, and that guy, he kept me busy. But Dick used to drive by. He said, go on, you crazy fool. Said, you build that building for them and they'll fire you. They'll get them a real preacher. Now, tell me it ain't easy not to get discouraged when you got some. But you know what? When we got it through with and was getting ready, one Sunday morning, I always get here early. About 9 o'clock, I heard the door squeak. And someone come in and heard the shuffling of feet, and when he come by my office door, you know who it was? It was Dick, you know? He said, I decided I'd come celebrate with y'all today. You know, And what he thought was impossible with God, what? Nothing's impossible, is it? Called on him. He said, I led you out of Egypt. My spirit brought you to the promised land. I gave you my word, and I'm still with you. Don't be afraid. Verse 6, this is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desired of all nations will come. Are you listening? And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. All right, let's stop here and let's tear this all to pieces, okay? What's he telling us here? Same thing, he said, there's coming a day, and he said, in a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I'll shake all nations, and the desired of all the nations will come. He's going to bring back his people from all parts of the world to come back. What's he going to do for us in New Testament time? What's he going to do? He said, one of these days, Father's going to say, Son, go bring my children. That trumpet's going to sound. That shout's going to come. The dead in Christ is going to rise. We which are alive and remain going to meet him in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And we're going to have our glory and our presence here with them. He said, I'll shake all the nations. Desire all of all the nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory. I believe with all of my heart. He's got a special place in his heart for Jerusalem and the temple of the Lord. And I don't know what he has prepared. You don't know. He said, I have not seen, the ear have not heard what God has prepared for those that love him. He's got special things in mind for the faithful, for the ones who have kept the faith, done the will, gone the mile they're supposed to go. How's he going to fill his house with glory, grace, and mercy? When you and I step into the presence of who God is. Remember old Isaiah? I think one of the godliest priests that ever was. What did Isaiah say when he saw the Lord? Woe is me. For I am a man of unclean lips. He saw his unworthiness. You think you're worthy to stand before God? I think it'd be a lot more than woe is me when I stand before the Lord. In a little while, he said. Verse 8 says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house. You thought that first temple was beautiful. You thought it was large. You thought it was great. Where do you see this one? He said, the glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place, I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. What kind of peace? Peace that passeth all understanding. You'll be blessed beyond measure. Listen what he tells these defiled people that have been through so much in their lives. Verse 10, he said, on the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. Are you noticing that? Haggai ain't just spitting out what he wants. Every time, who's giving him the words to say? The Lord. Verse 11 says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Ask the priest what the law says. If a man or a person carries consecrated meat in the fold of his garment, and that fold touches some bread or stew, some wine or oil or other food, does it become consecrated? The priest answers no. You hear what he's saying? this consecrated meat. Now, what were they supposed to do? Put a little pop test on you. What were the priests supposed to do? Offer the sacrifice of the ram or the bullock or the sheep or the whatever. And then the portion that was left that wasn't sacrificed on the altar was given to who? The Levites. To do what? Take care of them. So that their priest could take care of their families and not have to work and get out there. God separated them. But things got tough. People quit giving their money. Quit coming to church. Quit working. Quit doing. So what did the priest have to do? He had to go to work. He had a family to care for and his life. So he said, if they take this consecrated meat that has been offered on, and they go put it in a pot of soup, or they go put it in a pot of stew, or they go fix it however they want it to be fixed. He said, is that defiled? And the priest said, no. Verse 13 said, then Haggai asked him this, so it is with this people and this nation in my sight, declares the Lord. Whether they do, and whatever they offer, there is defiled. And the things that was happening, well, I skipped a verse, so let me back up. Verse 13. Haggai asked, if a person defiled by contact with a dead body touches one of these things, does it become defiled? Yes. The priest replied, it becomes defiled. So it is with this people and this nation in my sight, declares the Lord. He's not talking about a physical. He's using the illustration here of spiritually in our hearts and our life. There's a lot of spiritually dead Christians walking around in our world around about us today that have let their spiritual life grow dim and faint because they refused to do the will of God in their lives. 15 says, now give careful thought. Don't just jump into the, think about it. Give careful thought to this from the day on, this day on. Consider how things were before one stone was laid on another in the Lord's temple. What I asked you to do this morning, think about the sacrifices that our forefathers gave in buying the land, building the building, doing the best they could to have a house of worship. He said, consider how things were before one stone was laid on another in the Lord's temple. When anyone went to a wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were only 20. I struck all the work of your hands with blight, mildew, and hail. Yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord. From this day on, and from this 24th day of the ninth month, give careful thought to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Give careful thought. Is there yet any seed left in the barn? Until now, the wine and the fig tree, the pomegranate and the olive trees have not borne fruit. From this day on, I'll bless you. They finally come to a place of obedience with him. And he said, when you went to draw 50 measures, there was only 20. What was happening? That they had stored up was what? Dwindling down, wasn't it? The seed in the barn was going. All the stuff they had to plan and prepare for another year, gone. Even the vines and the fig trees, the pomegranates, the olive tree, all of that that bore fruit, nothing. But God says, from this day forward, I will bless you. Why did he say, from this day forward, I will bless you? What had they done? He told them to go to work. What did they do? They went to work, didn't they? Now, I forget, I might be wrong on this, but how many months was it from the time he put them back to work till they finished the temple? Just a short period of time. I want to say 3.5 years. But I could be wrong in that, but it wasn't very long. Because they had a determination to do what? What the Lord told them to do. I'm telling you, they was tired of seeing their crops dry up in the field. They was tired of not having anything to feed their family with. They was tired of seeing their livestock dry up and die. They knew God's wrath was upon them. But they had the promise of the Lord. I will be with thee. And I think they had to back up after that short period of time that they went from rags to riches in that they accomplished what the Lord wanted them to do. Was the Lord proud in that? Did he accept this as her gift? Listen to what he says in verse 20. The word of the Lord came to Haggai a second time on the 24th day of the month. Here's what he told him to tell Zerubbabel, the governor of Israel. Tell Zerubbabel that I will shake the heavens and the earth. I will overturn royal thrones, and I will shatter the powers of the foreign kingdoms. I'll overthrow chariots and their drivers, their horses and their riders will fall, each by the sword of his brother. God was simply telling them here what he was going to do. His final message acknowledged that he was just the messenger who had brought the word of the Lord to the people. And to him to go and address that to the people. And he gave him something that is the powers to be most important instrument. And that's a signet ring. They sealed all important papers and contracts and letters and stuff. And when it had that seal of that signet ring on it, that was like the signature of the priest himself, the king himself, or whoever. All right? He says, you go tell the people, I'll overturn royal thrones. I'll shatter the powers of the foreign kingdoms. I'll overthrow chariots and their drivers. Horses and their riders will fall, each by the sword of his brother. And on that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will take you, my servant, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and I will make you my signet ring. For I have chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty. After that, Zerubbabel had been faithful and did everything that God told him, he said, I'll make you my signet ring. Why? I chose you. What did him and old Haggai do? Did what the Lord commanded them to do, did they? And their hearts and our lives. Folks, when God tells us to do something, is it our place to second guess him? Is it our place to doubt? Especially when he says what? I will be with you. You and God are a what? Majority. You and God can do what? In all things. That's right. And I'm telling you, how much did it cost the Israelites 70 years. And young men, just like Daniel, young men like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in their teen years, prime of their life, was taken into captivity. But they took their freedom away from them, but they didn't take their God, did they? And their hearts in line, what we're able to do. Great things for the glory of God. Can you imagine what he saw when he looked in there? And he asked them, said, "Hey, I thought we throw three in there. I see a fourth man in the fire. What do you say about that fourth man?" And he looks like the Son of God. You know? He knew what he was looking at, didn't he? In his life. What is happening. And folks, as we move forward to do what God would have us to do, you know, if God sends you, go. If God tells you to do something, do it. Whatever the Lord would have you to do, if you want to be obedient and be in the center of his will, just do it. Any question about this? Going to be a little longer book in Zechariah, I believe that's right. And we're about 12 chapters or something in it, I think. And so we'll spend two or three lessons on that, going through that. And then we'll come down to Malachi. And then we're going to dive off into the New Testament and just keep on trucking and studying through that. Yes. Is our plan unless God says do something different. All hearts clear. Everybody's happy. Thank you for being here. Thank you for the sharing of this, you know. And I hope that all that God has said to us today has been about what? His house. What? This is God's house. We meet here to worship, but it's his house, his glory. Any thought? Ernie Ray dismisses, brother.
Thank you for the study that we